Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Everybody, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Monday, April 9th. And we got a big show for you today. Today's show has one focus, and that is the quarterback position. We will do a dive into the current Miami Dolphins quarterbacks, specifically Ryan Tannehill, and then myself and Brett Legassi will also talk about the draft prospects in the 2018 NFL draft and some guys that might be a fit for Miami and where they might go in which rounds and their strengths and weaknesses. So on today's show, myself and fellow DolphinsTalk.com blogger Brett Legassi, we get into all things quarterbacks. And this one should be an interesting one because I know when we talk about Ryan Tannehill, there's pretty much like no gray area, it seems like, with the fans. Either you are a big supporter of his and think he's not the problem and everything's fine at quarterback, or you'll fall on the other side of the fence where he just, whatever he does is never good enough and you just want him gone in the worst way. So myself and Brett, before we get into the draft prospects, we sort of dissect Ryan, where he is now as we head into 2018, and sort of break down him as a player and sort of his future in Miami and what he needs to do. So this is a show strictly about the quarterbacks. As I've been saying in previous weeks, this show was on its way, and this is it. It's going to be all quarterbacks, all talk. That's it. Nothing else. And so why don't I get right to my conversation with Brett Legassi about the quarterbacks in this upcoming draft and a breakdown of Ryan Tannehill. Joining me on the podcast once again is our very own Brett Legassi. Brett, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am doing good. So today's show, we're talking about the quarterbacks, as that's always a hot topic with the Miami Dolphins. But before we get to the guys in the draft, we have to talk about what Miami has on the roster now. And pretty much we have to talk about Ryan Tannehill, because what Miami does in this draft at the quarterback spot really it really ties into how they feel as an organization about what they have right now. Most specifically about Ryan Tannehill. And I know this offseason it's been in the press that we've read Adam Gase is all in on Ryan Tannehill and that many in the organization feel confident in him, which I'm sure they do, number one. And number two, if they weren't, I'm sure they wouldn't go to the media and say otherwise. So always take those things with a grain of salt. But I want to talk a little bit right here off the top about Ryan Tannehill, because since he's been in Miami since 2012, I have been a huge fan of his. I've been a huge supporter of his. I'm not one of these guys who every little mistake or fault is always his fault and where he gets blamed for every little thing. That I think since the time he's been in Miami, he's sort of gotten a raw deal on some level with many fans and many in the media as well. So if I had to sort of label myself, I guess, I would say I am a Ryan Tannehill supporter. I am more positive on him than negative. Now, with that said, it is the year 2018, and Tannehill has been in Miami for a very long time now, very long. And the time for excuses are pretty much over. He will be 30 years old in July. He's been in the NFL since 2012. And I see things online from media types. I see it from fans, people who write blogs and all that stuff, who, you know, I understand that a lot of fans or I would say it's pretty much split. So 50% of the fan base who support him and are huge fans of Ryan Tannehill, you know, they go sometimes a bit too far. They go a little too far in their support where they bend over backwards to find excuses to make for him. And I just don't get, look, he's a good quarterback. I don't think he'll ever be anything more than that at this point in his career. He is 30 years old. If it hasn't happened by now where he's taken that next step to that next level, it probably won't. Again, that doesn't make him a bad quarterback. Clearly, he's one of the best 32 in this league. So he does, he has earned that right to start for a team. Now, whether that's Miami or not long term, who knows? And in 2018, he will be the Miami Dolphins starter come week one, should he be healthy. That's not even up for debate. But my point is here with him is that, you know, the time for excuses with him are over. Yes, he has never had the best offensive line in Miami. Yes, the first few years he was in Miami, he didn't have great wide receivers. And I do know a lot of fans don't think wins and losses are a quote-unquote quarterback stat. And I do agree. It's not a quarterback stat. With that said, though, the fate of your franchise and the health of your franchise overall really is a – it's sort of a reflection on who your quarterback is and where you're going. And since he's been in Miami, for the most part, with the one outlier of 2016, the Miami Dolphins have been that 6-7-8 win team. I mean, it's just a fact. You can't – it just is what it is. And I'm not sure if Ryan is going to be the guy who will lead Miami, you know, far into the playoffs. And once again, it's not all his fault. I know the Miami Dolphins have been at times a mess on defense, have had poor head coaches and guys like Philbin and such, and poor coordinators. So I'm not putting this all on his lap, but you also have to consider it's not like we've been losing games, you know, 45-40 either. You know, the Miami Dolphins offense has not been a juggernaut since they've had Ryan Tannehill under center. And it's just, it becomes a little old at times. And I think for a lot of fans, even fans like me, who, like I said, I'm a big fan of his, he's a great guy. I think he's a very good quarterback, but I think that's all he ever will be. It is starting to fall on deaf ears when you see certain people in the media, certain guys who have blogs, certain guys who just write online and stuff, who just, you know, they take it a bit too far with him. And, you know, you can come up with all the stats and charts and this and graphs. You know, the team doesn't win enough with him at quarterback. So I have no problem at all with the Miami Dolphins drafting a quarterback in 2018, whether that's round one, round two, round three, or if they like someone who nobody's talking about later rounds. Fine, I get it, because I do think it is time this year to start to shift away from Ryan Tannehill. Now, look, he's going to have 2018 if he's healthy. And if he plays out of his mind and takes that next step, great. We're all going to be happy. But, you know, history has shown that's probably not going to happen. So it is in the Miami Dolphins' best interest to start, you know, start looking elsewhere at this spot. And I know a lot of fans are all, and I got it even this morning as I record this, fans sending me emails and tweets and stuff saying, why would you want Miami to take a quarterback in this draft? We have needs at linebacker, tight end, and so on. So it's like, because quarterback's not the number one problem on the Miami Dolphins, but it's a problem. And if you can't see that, then you're just putting your head in the sand. Again, Tannehill's fine. And for 2018, I have no problem with him being quote-unquote the guy. But it is time to start to prepare for the next phase of the Miami Dolphins with a new quarterback. And I think this is the draft. All depending how it falls, we'll get into this too. They can't force this. They can't force this and reach on a guy just for the sake of saying we have to take one. But I think this is the draft where they sort of have to shift their focus on the post Ryan Tannehill era, because I think we're pretty much at the end of his time in Miami. Brett, why don't you give me some of your thoughts on Ryan overall, and what do you think?
Well, I think you're on to something with it, the window's closing. I feel like he is he's getting better, and he had really shown out in 2016. But 2016 wasn't his first year that he really turned the corner. 2014, he had a pretty good year when Bill Lazor took over and they got rid of, I can't remember his name, Mike Sherman. When Mike Sherman stepped down, they put Bill Lazor as the offensive coordinator. Tannehill actually had a pretty good year in 2014. He had 4,000 yards. He had 27 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, and that was by far his best year of his career. 66.4% completion percentage. So he really showed in his third year, he really showed that he could be a legitimate quarterback. Now, that same year, they got into a shootout with the Lions and Broncos, and naturally the Broncos outlasted the Dolphins and were able to win that game. But that was with Peyton Manning. And the fact that the Dolphins only lost by, I believe, it was 3 points. Of course, they made it look closer by scoring a touchdown towards the end. They were down 10. But the fact that they were able to get the shootout with them showed that they had something. But all that to the side, coming off of a knee injury, pretty significant knee injury. I still only count it as one. The team counts it as two. Gates counts it as one. However you count that.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter. Yeah.
Regardless, he's coming off of ACL surgery.
Yep.
And he needs to be healthy. And we know that sometimes runners, guys who are athletic, who rely on athleticism, come back from a knee injury and don't do so well. But we've watched guys who have the work ethic like Tom Brady, Carson Palmer. These guys come back from terrible knee injuries and come back strong. Carson Palmer, I think, injured his knee 3 times and came back strong. So I think Tannehill can come back strong, and he's got the coaching. But at the same time, they're locked into him for up until at least 2020. But it doesn't mean you can't draft a guy and have him sit for a year or two and then see where Tannehill's at. And if Tannehill's still kind of just unsure, and then you can move on with the young draft pick. But I think he's a guy that can carry the team, at least veteran leadership, for another year or two. And if he's not where he needs to be, I think someone else that – but I think you have to draft the guy this year can come in and be ready to go.
Yep, absolutely. And you did mention that they are sort of locked into him for a few years. One thing with that, he still, even after he redid his deal, if you look around the league and what some quarterbacks are getting paid, he can be easily moved in a trade. Easily moved in a trade.
Oh, yeah.
And because he's not making that much money in comparison to what some of the other guys in this league are making. So, yes, he redid his deal to help out the Miami Dolphins this year, but it's not like he's making so much money. And I think the point I'm trying to make is 2018 for him really is make or break. It really, truly is make or break for him because, like I said, this team with him under center has not been losing games, 35 to 32. It's like they just don't score enough with him. And, again, not all his fault. But at the end of the day, he is the quarterback. He is the quarterback, yeah. And he is responsible for the offense. Because I know there's some people out there who just write diatribes, and they look and they just bend over backwards to make excuses. It's like, which is sort of the what I call the millennial thing to do. I think on some level, it's like the game's not played on paper. The game is not played on paper. It's played on the field, and it really is a cut and dry thing. You win or you lose. You are putting up a lot of points or you're not. And it's like, look, yes, he's better than guys like Matt Moore. Yes, he's better than guys like Jay Cutler. That doesn't mean he should be given a pass. It doesn't. He's been given a lot of passes in his time in Miami. And I can tell you firsthand, I think guys like Omar, Kelly and such, they've gone overboard and sort of ripping him pretty much since 2012. They've gone overboard. And he's not alone. He's just a name that's probably the most out there. I think they've gone a little bit overboard. But I will say this. I can't say who. But there are some guys I've talked to off the record who will say that locker room on him, it's not as negative as someone like Omar might make it seem. Because there are a lot of guys on the team who do like him, who are very much supporters of Ryan Tannehill. But there are some guys who don't believe in him. And if you think that's not the case, once again, you're just putting your head in your sand. There are some guys who just don't believe he is the guy. I can't say who because it wouldn't be fair because I was told off the record.
Yeah.
But that is a case. And like you said, 2016 up until he got hurt, he was having a great year. Yes, the first month was rough, but whatever. From in 2016, he was playing outstanding, and you can't knock him. But 2016 is a long time ago, and in this league, honestly, nobody cares. It's just the way of the world. Nobody cares what happened in 2016, 2015, 2014. It's what have you done for me lately? And lately, he hasn't been on the field. Not his fault. It's a rough league. People get hurt. It happens. But nobody's going to care about 2016 come September. Honestly, they're not going to care. So for 2018, Ryan really does have to play well. Otherwise, that window is closing. It's closing rapidly. And his time in Miami might be over after this year if he does not play well. And if he doesn't play well, and if this team has another, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 win season and is out of the playoffs, guys like Adam Gase, Chris Greer, and Mike Tannenbaum might be out of jobs, and it might be a total house cleaning. This team has to win now, and the quarterback is a huge factor in that. Again, if they start losing games this year, you know, 42-40, then it's not the offense's fault. We get it. He would get a pass, but we've never seen that from him yet, and it's hard to believe it will start this year. So that's what I wanted to say on him to sort of start this off, because that's why when a lot of fans are talking about online, or you read guys in the media, like, why is Miami even interested in one of these guys in the draft? Because the quarterback issue is a problem in Miami. And if you don't think it is, then I don't know what to tell you, because it's a problem even with Tannehill. Yes, guys like Fales and guys like Osweiler, nobody cares about them because they're just sort of guys, okay? But when it comes to Tannehill, you know, he has some issues still. And this team will not go to where they want to go until that spot is resolved. And they might need to bring in a guy in this draft, probably early in the draft, but like I said, they shouldn't force it, who can solidify the quarterback spot. Because look at last year. This is the last thing I'll say, and then we'll get to some of the guys in the draft. You look at last year. I'm going to give you some teams. I'll give you the Green Bay Packers and the Houston Texans. When they lost their quarterbacks, their season ended. This is a two-quarterback league now. You can't just have one guy with just like an okay backup, because guys are always – they're always going down. So when those two teams, they did not prepare at the quarterback spot. But then you look at teams like Philadelphia and Minnesota. They lost their starters, and they went on without missing a beat. Why? Because they had capable number two quarterbacks. And that's what you need in this league. You need two quarterbacks. Right now, you know, with all due respect to guys like Fales, and I'm not even as down on Osweiler as many, they're not capable number two quarterbacks, okay? They're just not. So the Miami Dolphins need to find another quarterback, which will lead us into the draft. And, Brett, this is where you shine, so you'll be doing a lot more of the talking now. Let's talk about the top four guys, which I think is widely accepted. These are the top four. We're not going to spend a ton of time on them because they've sort of been talked over to death. But let's talk about Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen. Why don't you run through these four and share some of your thoughts on who you like the best and such?
All right. Well, I can tell you this. Sam Darnold's basically not a huge fan. I think he has a lot of potential, but he has a lot of growing to do. I think he should have stayed. But the thing about Sam Darnold is I don't think the Dolphins would benefit from his style of play. He crumbles under pressure, and, yeah, he's more athletic than he looks, than he seems. But he fumbles the ball a lot, and I think that would drive Adam Gase nuts, which is why they haven't visited with him, more than likely. Of the top four quarterbacks, they've only visited with Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen. Now, Josh Allen was only during the Senior Bowl, and that was it. So I don't think they saw enough. Now, there was rumor that Josh Allen and Sam Darnold had a little bit of issues with on the whiteboard and retaining the football information. As we know, Gase was frustrated with Jay Ajayi and some of the other players for not being mentally prepared. So you know he's not going to put up with that from his quarterback. So I'm not saying that is why, but that's just kind of like if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense of why Allen hasn't been visited with more and Sam Darnold haven't been visited with more.
It might also be, too, just real quick, it might also be, too, that they think those two guys are going to be long gone by the time they're on the clock and they have no chance to even select them. So that might also be a case there because those two guys most likely are going to be gone in the top, you know, five. I don't see either one of those guys even falling past number six or seven. So that might also be the case why they're not, why they won't spend any time with them too. Because those two, I agree with what you're saying on Josh Allen 100%. I don't see it, honestly. I sort of don't feel the same way on the USC quarterback. I think there's something there. He might be a bit of a project, but they might just think neither one will be even in the realm of a possibility. So that might be why they're not even going to waste time on those guys. Just a thought. It could be anything, but just something that might be the case.
And that's very true, too. But after Laramie Tunsil, you just never know who's going to fall in your lap.
True.
But that is very true, that they're just not going to waste their time on guys that might not be there. But so out of those guys, Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield are the only ones that actually had private workouts with the Dolphins. Josh Rosen had a private visit. There's something about Josh Rosen I really like. I like his sounds crazy, but I like his calm demeanor. And that really works well for guys who have to step up big and have to play in big games. You kind of need those guys who don't get overwhelmed easy. And he has that mentality. Now, I do want to know more about his old coach, Jim Moore, saying he has to be challenged. And I want to know more about that. But I think a guy like Adam Gase always finds ways to challenge his guys, always finds ways to tell them, you need to be better, we need to get better. So that's if you're constantly telling your guys you need to get better, they're constantly challenged. They're constantly looking for new ways to get better. But I really like Rosen is the purest thrower in this draft. He probably throws the best deep ball in this draft, the smoothest throw in motion. He looks effortless when he's making the throws. And when he knows where his receivers are going to be and when he knows what defense he's facing, he looks as confident as Aaron Rodgers out there. But there's times where he'll look like Eli Manning or Jay Cutler. However, that's all in coaching. That's why I really like Rosen, because a lot of his flaws are just coaching. And Adam Gase has proven to be a good quarterback guy. So I really like Josh Rosen as a fit in this offense. I think he can make all the throws. But I do wonder his mental state, how much he loves football, how passionate he is. But we've seen Ryan Tannehill. He's passionate in his own way. But even in but there's times where he doesn't look like he has fire when he really does, but he's able to keep calm under pressure. I think Rosen kind of brings a similar skill set, so I can see that as a good fit.
Yep, absolutely. I like him a lot, Rosen. I think out of the four names, I think he's the most ready for the NFL. I think whatever team selects him could possibly start him week one in September. He came from a pro system in college. He knows what he's doing on the field. He can make all the throws. Now, he has a little bit of an injury history, but there's nothing you can do about that. Some guys just do. You just have to keep him upright and you have to keep him protected. And he can't hold on to the ball long, which he does have a knack of doing sometimes. But I'm sure after he takes one or two hits there in the NFL, that will change quickly and he'll be throwing it quicker. But I think out of all four of these guys, I do like him the best. Personality-wise, that's tough to judge without actually knowing the guy. So I'm not even going to talk about that. Because there are like a lot of people say, I know him, he's not a bad guy. So that's just one of those things where it's tough to judge from afar. So I'm not even going to get into that. But let's talk about Mayfield here a little, because obviously he's a name most linked to Miami. And before you go, let me just say this with Mayfield. Personality-wise, I know there's also some red flags there with him. They do not scare me in the least. He does have the attitude. The thing that worries me about him, and it's not the height. I don't care about the height either. I think he's tall enough. The part about him is at Oklahoma, if you watch them play, and I watched them play a lot last year, their offense, they sort of manufacture offense in ways that you can't do in the pros. So a lot of his numbers, in my opinion at least, are a little bit inflated. Now, that doesn't make him someone who should not go, you know, high in round one, because clearly he should. but you got to sort of pump the brakes and realize he's a bit more of a project than some seem to think. Because, yes, he put up huge numbers in college, but in that conference and for that offense he played in at Oklahoma, they will manufacture offense in ways that you just can't do in the NFL. So that's the one thing about him that makes me a little nervous. Why don't you talk a little bit here about Mayfield?
Oh, I have to agree. I mean, Oklahoma's offense is very wide open, and same thing that he had in Texas Tech was why he came to Oklahoma. It is an offense that he's not going to see like that in the NFL, and some of his production is inflated, but that's just college compared to the NFL, and that's okay. But what he showed was that he can make throws under pressure, that he can make something out of nothing, and that's something that you see like out of Russell Wilson. You see him make a lot of plays out of nothing, and Russell Wilson has had a terrible offensive line the past couple of years, and yet he still remains one of the most productive quarterbacks in the NFL. Mayfield offers that same kind of ability. Now, I don't like comparing rookies to established guys, especially the quarterback position. But ability-wise, I think Mayfield has potential to do that kind of to be able to move the pocket, to be able to keep plays alive, to be able to find the open receivers and take, instead of taking a sack, he's able to make a 3 or 4 yard pass. I'll take a 3 or 4 yard play instead of a -4 or 5 yard play all day long. I think anybody will. Where he does struggle throwing to his left at times, and there are times where he gambles a little too much, and it paid off in college because you have a bigger window. But in the NFL, some of those throws that he makes off balance will be picked off. And I think he's going to have a little bit of a learning curve in that sense, to where there's some things that he just can't do in the NFL that he was able to do in college. But that's just all part of learning. I'd rather him come in as a rookie and battle and make stupid mistakes as a rookie and just learn from it the next year and realize, oh, crap, I can't do that. But Mayfield seems like a smart guy. He's a hard worker. Obviously, he's a walk-on in two different schools. So he's going to work. He's not going to be the kind of guy that's just going to come in and say, okay, I'll just be the backup. He's not going to want to be the backup.
Nope.
He's going to want to push Tannehill. And I even think Tannehill will welcome the competition. I think Mayfield will push him and push anybody in front of him wherever he gets drafted, whether it be Miami or anywhere else. But I really like what I see out of him, just the fact he doesn't want to give up on any play. And, that again, that's going to bite him a couple times, but there's going to be times where he makes big plays. And in the NFL, sometimes you need guys who are not afraid to make the big play. Because you play conservative your entire career, you start struggling, which is why I do believe that Tannehill has not had as many touchdowns, because he plays a little more conservative at times, but he's been getting more aggressive. Well, a guy like Baker Mayfield may force Tannehill to get more aggressive, because Mayfield's not going to be afraid to make some of the throws. He's not going to be afraid to force that downfield. Just like we saw with Cutler, where he wasn't afraid to throw. He knew the corner had his back to the receiver, and Devontae Parker made that beautiful catch over the San Diego Chargers corner. That's the same kind of stuff that Mayfield will do. He's not afraid to make that throw and let his receivers go up and get the football.
Absolutely. And
I think that's something I really like.
Yep. Yeah, and look, I like him a lot as well. I think he will be a great player. But, yeah, and if one of these guys falls, and we're not going to get into all the possibilities here of how round one will work out, but if one of those four were to fall, and when I say fall, I'm not talking about falling all the way to pick number 11. I'm talking about falling to pick 6, 7, or 8. It probably would be Mayfield.
Right.
Just because of the height and stuff like that. It probably would.
Yeah.
Which, but even that I don't see happening, but he would probably be on that list number 4. Now, let's talk about the next guy, which is Lamar Jackson. And with him, you know, some people love him, some people don't love him. And it's going to take the right fit and the right franchise to make it work with him. And I will say this, I listen to Sirius XM NFL radio all the time. I listen to Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller, as I think they have the best football show in the entire nation, bar none.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They are well connected with everybody you need to know. Pat Kerwin, he knows everyone in this league, and he has for years. And he was on the radio the other week, and what he said about Lamar Jackson was, he has talked to a handful, and by handful, less than 5, a handful of scouts and a handful of general managers, I should say, not scouts, a handful of general managers who have Lamar Jackson as the number two quarterback in this draft, the number two quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's a handful of scouts, or I mean a handful of general managers. So do not be stunned in the least if he were to go ahead of some of those guys in the top four. Do not be stunned in the least if he gets picked, you know, just outside of the top 10. And do not be stunned in the least if a team who is picking lower in round one tries to make a move up to whether, you know, somewhere between pick 10 and, you know, 16, 17 to grab this kid. Because there are at least a handful of teams in this league who have him rated very, very highly. And they love him. Now, I know he's got some issues here with his mom. Doesn't have an agent, and his mom has sort of screwed things up this whole yeah. offseason, which, whatever. Once he's in the league, that's really not an issue anymore. So some teams can just look past that. I guess some can't, which is fine, whatever. But why don't you tell me your thoughts on Jackson? Because he is worth talking about because he will be on the board most likely, when Miami has their pick at number 11. What are your thoughts on Jackson?
Well, I could believe that these scouts have, or these GMs have him rated as the number two. You really got to look at the athleticism that he offers. I mean, take away the quarterback thing just for a moment, and just look at the athleticism, playmaking ability he offers. If you don't have a whole lot of wide receivers, or you don't have a run game, he's going to help develop it. If you don't have a big play tight end, he'll make up for it. You know, if you don't have a good offensive line, he can help make up for that. Guys like him can help you mask flaws for a while. Just take a look at Deshaun Watson. Nowhere near the dynamic of a player as Jackson.
Not even close.
Watson's a fantastic athlete. But look at what Watson was able to do with his athleticism and his ability to throw the football. Now, I do believe Watson's more polished than Jackson as far as a passer. Honestly, it's not that Jackson doesn't have the talent as a passer, because he absolutely does. He just needs coaching. He just needs a good quarterback coach to just kind of get some of the bad habits off. But when I look at all these quarterbacks in this draft, none of them have stood out to me like, let's say, Carson Wentz as a guy who's just like, you know what? Head and shoulders, he's my favorite quarterback in this draft. None of these guys have really stood out to say they're the best. So there's no reason we can't lump Lamar Jackson in those top four and say he's just as good as all of them. He needs just as much work as the rest of them. And none of them are in my confidence saying, go ahead and stand out there and be my quarterback. I actually have Lamar Jackson over Josh Allen, because even though Josh Allen can run and has a big arm, Lamar Jackson has shown that he can throw accurately on the run. He has shown consistent ability to be accurate with the football. It's just sometimes he gets a little bit lazy in his progressions, just like Rosen and Darnold do. He gets a little lazy with his footwork, just like Rosen and Darnold do. But Jackson makes up for it with his big play ability. Now, he didn't have the surrounding cast that I would say Darnold or Mayfield did. However, he really showed that he can be the guy. There are so many times where I watched him make a tough throw. He's off balance. He's being chased, and his feet are barely on the ground. He hits his receiver where only his receiver can catch him on the sideline. I mean, those balls are usually picked off or thrown out of bounds, and he makes it a completion first down to keep the drive alive. That's invaluable. And I really think if you combine Jackson and let him sit for a year behind Tannehill and let Adam Gase groom him, I think he could, just like Mayfield, he could push Tannehill for a starting job after the summer. I think one summer in Miami, he'll be even more polished and ready to go pushing Tannehill. And I even think that Gase can get creative to get them both on the field at the same time, or get Jackson on the field just to get
Absolutely.
So Jackson offers so much dynamic playmaking ability. And, yeah, I worry about his frame just like I worry about Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold's frames. I worry that they can get hurt. But if you can't hit him, you can't hurt him. So when I say that, Lamar Jackson's so elusive that if you can't land a clean shot, it's going to be hard to hurt him. Now, he reminds me of Vic, to where he's too proud to get down. So he needs to learn to slide fast, because I watched that shot that Vic took to the Dolphins years ago in the divisional playoffs, and Vic had I don't know if he broke his arm, but I remember that shot he took. And it makes me cringe watching guys like Lamar Jackson run over the middle and not slide. But if he can learn a couple little things, I think he could be a playmaking quarterback. And I think somebody's going to grab him in the middle of the first round. Or like you said, probably if he lands in Miami at 11, their phone's going to ring off the hook. But I think Miami may pull the trigger on him at 11.
Absolutely.
Cause, mark my words, he's visited with Miami, by the way, at the combine. And I think as a local prospect.
Yeah, I think he was there on Friday. But
he was.
Yeah, when he gets in the open field, you know, it's over for the defense. People have to realize there's only one comparison for him, and that is a young Mike Vick. When Mike Vick first came in the NFL, he was electric, and that's a word you can't use with many players. He was electric. And Lamar Jackson is sort of cut from the exact same cloth in that the window with him, he's not going to be a guy in this league who's going to have the 15, 16, 17-year window where he can be great. You know, he's just not. But he might only have a six-year window, but for those 6 years, watch out because you're going to be good because he is that type of guy where when he gets into the open field as a runner, it's over for the defense. He is that fast. He is that elusive. I mean, he is just that good. The thing is, can he take a hit and can he improve as a pocket passer? Because at the end of the day, this league, you need a guy to be that pocket passer where you're down, you know, you're down 3 or 4 points, 1.5 to go. You have to lead your team up the field 75 yards. You know, you have to do it from the pocket. Can he be that guy and can he improve there? I think he can improve. It ain't going to be year one probably, but I think he's got to go to the right type of team, and I think Miami is one of those teams. Now, we'll see. At pick number 11, if he's on the board and that's who Miami wanted, you would hope they might be able to find a way to slide down a few spots, pick up an extra pick, and pick him. The problem is you don't know what teams love him. And like I said, there are a few teams, a handful of teams, who absolutely love him. And I know some fans think, well, just take him in round two. He ain't going to be there in round two, okay? He ain't going to be there in round two. And if he is, then you can all just pick on me and make fun of me all you want. He ain't going to be there in round two. He's going to round one. There's enough teams who like him. He's going to round one. So I don't know how – yep, exactly. I don't know how Miami feels on him, but if they took him, I would not be stunned in the least. Let me just say that. I wouldn't be stunned. So let's talk about a few guys who probably will be there in round two. Let's talk about first Mason Rudolph. What are your thoughts on Rudolph?
Well, the last time we talked about him, like I said, he's got some it factor to him. He's got good size. You know, he's got the strong arm. And now he's similar to Mayfield, came from an offense that was wide open. He had Marcel Ateman, who's a pretty good receiver, big receiver. James Washington, who is one of my absolute favorite receivers in this draft, is a fantastic route runner and just gets open and creates separation. And so I was listening to, actually, Pat Kerwin and Jim Show, and him and Washington were on there. They complimented each other, but James Washington had said, I was listening to how he would talk about Mayfield. You could just hear the respect in his voice that he had, not Mayfield, excuse me, for Rudolph. And you could just hear the respect he had for Rudolph in his voice. Just that he's a hard worker. He makes all the throws. He's a leader. He's always getting – when they need him, he steps up and gets the offense in line, snaps up, makes the calls. Kind of reminds me of a Carson Palmer, just a mature guy. I don't think he's going to be this elite quarterback, but I think he is a quality starting quarterback in the NFL. He's sneaky athletic. He has really good feet in the pocket. It's kind of like, and I don't mean he's on this level, but it's kind of like Dan Marino, who wasn't like this guy who was going to run like Mike Vick or Randall Cunningham, but he had sweet feet and smooth feet. And it's kind of like that Rudolph, where he's not a killer athlete, but he has good feet and he moves around in the pocket pretty well. But he has a wide base when he throws the football, and that can kind of get him in trouble where he's not able to always have that wide base, especially with the guard issues we've had in Miami. So, but I do believe he can make all the throws. I believe he would fit perfect in Gase's style of play. And Gase has shown he wants to run more of that Mike Martz offense, which is a lot of the quick hitting throws to those receivers, letting the receivers make the big plays. And I think Rudolph is definitely good for that. And then hitting them deep later in the game, and Rudolph definitely has a good ability to throw a quality deep ball and live off of play action. But I think he could be a good quality backup, and you can take your time to develop him. And I think he could push for a starting job. I just don't think he'll be ready as soon as a guy like Lamar Jackson or Mayfield. But he is one of my favorite quarterbacks in this draft as far as for the Dolphins. And I think he does fit what they do. So I think as far as scheme fit and head mindset fit, I think he's perfect, especially since Gase is looking for guys that are that put the work in, that are football guys first. So I think he'll get that with Mason Rudolph.
Yep, absolutely. I think he's someone who, if he's there in the second round, if Miami selected him, I wouldn't have a huge problem with that at all. He's not one of my favorite guys in this draft, but I would understand that pick, and I wouldn't have a problem with it. The next guy we should talk about is Luke Falk, who he's a nice player. The thing about him that has me a little worried is he doesn't have the strong arm. And I think when you play for the Miami Dolphins, you need that strong arm, because let's be honest, every year, you know, late in the year, you will be on the road against either the Jets, against the Patriots, or against the Buffalo Bills on the road in December. You have to have a strong arm to sort of play in that type of weather, and those games mean so much. So he scares me a little in that respect, but he can place the ball on a dime, and he has seen everything in college that you can see. So between the ears, he sort of has it. What are your thoughts on Luke Falk?
Now, I like Luke Falk, and then Pat Kerwin actually was talking to him at the combine. He had said, you know, your game kind of reminds me of Joe Montana a bit with timing and the throws. And when you watch Luke Falk, the one thing I love about his game is he doesn't care if he's going to launch. He's not trying to, like, launch the ball, but he's going to make high-efficiency throws. So, you know, the floor of the guy, and it's similar size and kind of play for me is Chad Pennington style before the shoulder injury. So a decent arm, you know, but nothing crazy.
Yep.
But he can make all the throws. And Luke Falk kind of reminds you of that guy who's just head smart, who knows how to find the holes in the defense, which I think is very underrated with him. I think his X's and O's and his board work is probably very high. His football IQ seems very high when you watch him. But he has good timing on his routes. And I think at Washington State, I think it was more of, and I don't want to just blame everything else, because he made his own mistakes. He had some ugly games. But I think it was some just poor play calling, I think, in some of those games that kind of set them in bad situations. And Washington State's not exactly a powerhouse, although they were ranked this year at some point. But Falk was making some great throws against some good defenses. He was making good timing routes, and he would know it had great anticipation. He knew where the defender was going to be or where his receiver should have been. And when they were on, he was just moving downfield methodically, just with ease. And the Dolphins have met with him three times so far at the combine. They worked him out privately, and they met with him privately. So that shows there's some serious interest. Now, he fits exactly what I was just saying, that Kurt Warner style of play, that Trent Green style will play with Mike Martz. We're going to spread it out, but we're going to do short passes, timing routes. We're going to work the defense, pick the defense apart, let the receivers. And that's what the Dolphins are trying to do with Kenny Stills and Albert Wilson. And Luke Falk fits that. The quick hitting routes, just constantly picking defenses apart. That's exactly what he fits. So, and he would be a perfect guy to bring in as a backup. Let him learn the system. Let him take his time. And before you know it, he could challenge Tannehill within a year or two.
Yep,
but I think Luke Falk is a good fit.
Yep. Yeah, because he did come from a pro-style type of offense in college, and he has it in his brain. He knows what he's doing on the field. He has seen every type of – he's seen a lot in college, because he did come from a place where, A, he played a lot, and, B, he saw a lot. So the type of learning – curve with him is less. So absolutely, he could come in and be a number two probably right off the bat. Let's talk about the kid from Richmond, Kyle Laiueta. I believe that's how you say it. He played at Richmond, so that does raise some flags. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, another concern with arm strength, he doesn't have the anticipation that Falk has. Now, the thing about him is he's actually a pretty good athlete. So he can run around a little bit. He can make some plays. Doesn't have great size, 6'3", 215. So, again, but he looks smaller than that. And you worry about him holding up in the pocket a little bit. But he has pretty good accuracy. He's tough. That's one thing I do like about him. He's tough physically and mentally. Again, I still worry about him. But he does like to push the ball downfield. He's not just because he doesn't have a huge arm. He isn't afraid to throw it downfield, but sometimes the ball sails and the safeties get it. But he does have a good ability to read the defense and kind of anticipate, kind of move this, look the safety off, look the linebacker off, and without tipping his body. So he does a pretty good job with that kind of stuff. Like he does the mental side of things very well. Good anticipation of throws. Again, not quite at the level of Falk, but his arm strength is a concern where he doesn't seem to have the zip, and sometimes the ball floats his receivers and sometimes gets caught up in the air, allowing the linebacker or safety to recover and get their hands on the ball. So, but leadership-wise, he has the leadership, and he throws a pretty ball. Like it doesn't – not a whole lot of ducks when he throws the ball. So for a guy not that doesn't have a huge arm, he does actually throw a nice tight spiral that actually can fit in the windows at times.
Yep.
But he's an underdog. He's got some potential, but I think there are some concerns to his game.
Yeah, I'm not in love with him. One more name here. Let's talk about the kid from Virginia who I know Miami has shown some interest in. Ben Kirk. He's got the arm. So, and he has the release. The thing with him is, A, he's very hot and cold. He can make great throws, but he'll miss guys, you know, that are wide, wide open, which that is not good. And the other thing with him is everyone who is at the NFL Combine sort of ripped him up one side, down the other, because he looked like he wasn't prepared in the least for the Combine, and he had one of the worst NFL Combines for a quarterback in a long time. So that also is a few red flags. Like, how could you head into that and not be prepared? So with him, what are your thoughts on him as a quarterback?
Kind of reminds me a little bit of J.P. Lossman. I mean, he's got the big arm, he's decent size. He's built – he's only 215 and 6'4", but he's built a little thicker. He's got a lively arm. You know, there's no doubt about that. And we're not talking Josh Allen lively, but lively enough to be a strong arm in the NFL. But he doesn't have great accuracy. He's tough. He's a gambler, and you got to respect that. Same thing with like Mayfield. He's a gambler, but Mayfield knows which risks he can and can't take sometimes. And Benker, he even struggles with taking those risks in college. So, you know, those windows are smaller in the NFL. So I think he was really struggling in the NFL. But he did have a lot of drops in college, a lot of catchable passes that were dropped. So that is something to show where his completion percentage could have been higher. But the one thing I don't like about him is the same thing I have with Kaepernick. When he came out, was a low release point. You know, so he's the ball releases a little low. Now, Rivers kind of has a low release point sometimes, but he makes up for it with time, with good timing. And Benker doesn't exactly do that. And he's always trying to launch the football. So at that low release point, you can have a lot of fumbles. If you're throwing in traffic, or if he's throwing in traffic, that could be a strip, could be fumbled, called the interception. All kind of problems can happen with that, a lot of incompletions. And it's the same thing that Kaepernick had to change, which helped him actually when he changed it to a higher release point. But that's going to be something he needs to worry. And his pocket awareness is not very good at all.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a project for sure. Are there any other guys you want to talk about at the quarterback that I didn't mention?
We could talk about this guy that no one really knows about. His name is Alex Magoo. Magoo, I'm not really 100% sure. He's a local visit that the Dolphins visited with from Florida International. They even held a private workout. It wasn't just a local visit. They even liked him enough to hold a private workout. They brought him in. I haven't done much work on him yet, but I saw his name on there, and that just shows that the Dolphins are looking, even in their own backyard, at quarterbacks. But he's got some athleticism to his game, which Florida International loves their athletes. But he's got pretty good size, and I think he actually is a guy that could be brought in as a priority, undrafted free agent, brought in to be kind of like a project guy. But he's a name to keep an eye on I haven't really got to do much work on him, which I will be doing some work this week on him. But he's a guy I would keep an eye on for future visits. But he's a good size, a 6'3", 220, but he's from Tampa, Florida. I don't even think he was a combine invite, but they felt good enough to even give him a private workout, which that says something, that they're going to take their time to a private workout with a player.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Brett, I think you have said it all on the quarterbacks. We've gone over a lot of these guys. And as always, that is always the most important spot on any team. So when it comes to this spot, if you're a team in the draft, you don't want to miss, especially if you take one, you know, round one or round two and such. So there's a lot of guys in this draft. I will say this, if it were me and if I were the general manager of the Dolphins, I probably wouldn't look to take one in the first round unless somebody just fell right in their lap. If it were me, though, second and third round, I think some of these guys here, like Falk and such, if they're there, by all means, jump on them. If it's like a Rudolph or Falk who are sitting there, I would have no problem with one of them. But in round one, I do think they're going to go flying off the board. I think the only way Miami could possibly take one is if they have to move up, which I don't want to do. And Lamar Jackson at number 11, I like him more than most. I don't know if I want to use that high of a pick on him, though. But, yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see what they do at the quarterback spot. And, again, they can't force it. Don't take a guy just for the sake of taking a guy. They have to take a guy at the right spot, and they can't reach on any of these guys. Would you agree?
I agree. And I think if one falls in your lap, take them. But I know the philosophy of Chris Greer has been draft the highest rated player on your board that fits your system. So if they don't fit the system, they're not even on your board. Take the highest rated player. So at 11, if Lamar Jackson's there and he is your highest graded player on the board, just take him. Then you have your quarterback. But if he's not your highest rated player and a guy like Derwin James is or Minka Fitzpatrick, whoever's there, take that highest graded player and you take him and you don't look back and say, oh, well, we really could use a quarterback. No, you take that highest graded player and you plug him into your system and you let him make plays because that's the whole point of BPA. And I think that's what Greer's going to do.
Yep, absolutely. So that's all for the quarterbacks. Brett, we'll do a show next week. I'm not sure when, probably next weekend, where we will break down the final positions as we've gone over pretty much all of them now with you. We've gone over offensive line, running back, wide receivers, tight end, linebacker, now quarterback. We'll probably just go over the safeties and cornerbacks, and we'll do a show on the secondary. I don't think we need to do a show on pass rushers because I think Miami has had enough pass rushers, and I think they're pretty much solid there. So I think we'll just do a show on the secondary overall, and that will wrap up our position preview as we head into this draft. So next week we'll do a show with Brett on that. Brett, as always, thanks again for joining us, and we'll have you on again in about a week.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
All right. Once again, I would like to thank Brett Legassi for joining me on the podcast to talk about the quarterback position in the draft and, of course, go over Ryan Tannehill just to add a little bit more on the Ryan Tannehill talk. Because I know once a lot of you listen to that, I'm going to get probably a ton of emails and a ton of tweets saying, oh, you're an idiot, you know what you're talking about, and then I'm going to get half of you that think I'm a genius, keep saying what you're saying, you're right. Let me just make some points clear. Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback. I'm not saying he's not. What I am saying is he's also not a Supreme Court judge where he has a job for life here. He's been in Miami since 2012. The team has not won enough with him under center. They have not scored enough points with him under center. And there does come a time where you say, this is sort of it. This is your last shot. I know he's coming off a major injury, and it stinks. I know it. And it sort of is what it is. And in 2016, like I said, he was having a great year up until he got hurt. But again, and this is the hard, cold truth of this. Nobody cares. 2016 is a long time ago, and honestly, nobody cares. It's like you have to play well now. And you can't hang your hat on 2016 forever saying, well, he was close and he got hurt, so he just needs more time. And he's still improving. He's been here since 2012. If he hasn't reached his ceiling by now, He probably never will. And that's what we, and that's what the Miami Dolphins and us as fans have to realize, is that he is who he is at this point. And 2018 is sort of his last stand in Miami, in my book. I know Brett mentioned that he's sort of locked into till 2020. Well, he is, but yeah, once again, he can be easily moved. He can be easily moved. And if he has, if they somehow, in some way, land a quarterback in round one or two, and over the course of the 2018 season, they feel that guy sort of picked up the NFL game pretty good, and he's sort of moving along, the Miami Dolphins could very easily move on from Tannehill next offseason, just like the Kansas City Chiefs did with Alex Smith. Very much possible. Or they could hold on to him and say, you know what, you can stay, but you got to fight for the starting job. You're no longer our number one. That job's up for grabs. So, I mean, Tannehill, this is his last stand 2018, okay? It really, really is, because we just need to see more. And he's been around long enough. And as much of a fan of his I am, and I have been since the first day he got to Miami, we need to see more. And it's just, it is what it is. And like I said, there's some folks in the media, some folks who blog, some folks who just online in general, putting stuff up on message boards, who just, you know, yeah, they bend over backwards looking for excuses. They're writing novels. They come up with graphs and charts and stuff. It's like, guys, the game's not played on paper, and you can't make excuses for him with stats. You can't hide behind a stat sheet at the end of the day. You can't. And you can come up with all, hey, look, it's the worst part about analytics. Analytics is good information to have. It's good information to sort of just, you know, have in your back pocket, but you can't run a football team that way. You can't run a team on paper with stats. You have to, you know, your eyes aren't lying to you half the time. The team doesn't win enough. The team's offense doesn't score enough and struggles at times. So all the stats, and people can write, you know, all the novels they want and come up with all the charts and graphs and this and that. Look, we need to see more. And 2018's it. I think for a lot of fans, and I think for the team as well, 2018's it. It really is. It's it. It's either produce or you're done. So we'll see how it plays out, and we'll see how it plays out in the draft. I will say this. If it were me, wave a magic wand. If I were the general manager of the Dolphins, round one, if one of those guys fall, one of the top four guys, if they either fall to number 11, which is very unlikely, or if they fall far enough where somehow, some way, Miami can move up, you know, 6, 7, 8, without having to part with the world, they can get one, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. Second round, Lamar Jackson's not going to be there, so let's don't even talk about that. Someone like Rudolph, or probably Falk, if they feel strongly enough about them, and they have to feel strongly, if you wanted to take one of those guys at pick number 42, I wouldn't have a problem, because I trust Adam Gase when it comes to quarterback and stuff. So if he feels strongly about one of those guys and they took him there, wouldn't have a problem with it. But once again, don't just take a guy for the sake of taking a guy, because that's where you get in trouble. That's where you get in a lot of trouble. And when we had on Jason Leisure last week, and I spoke to him, and I brought up John Beck, that's the perfect example where the Miami Dolphins, we got to get a quarterback. We got to get a quarterback. Well, all the ones that they probably wanted were gone. We're taking John Beck. Well, John Beck stunk. John Beck should never got picked as high as he was picked. It was a mistake, and that's what the Miami Dolphins can't do. They cannot waste a high pick or a pick in rounds 1, 2, and 3 on a guy just for the sake of we need a quarterback, so we have to take a guy, even if it's somebody we don't. They can't do that. They can't. If for somehow, some way, how this falls this draft, if they get shut out of the quarterbacks, it's fine. Then in 2019, that becomes more of a focus. Sure up some other areas of this team, so in 2019, you don't have to worry about those spots, whether it be linebacker, tight end, stuff like that. So then in 2019, quarterback is a focus. So that's sort of how I feel. And like I said, I know this show is going to probably get a ton of feedback, because anytime you talk about the quarterback position, it's always something that gets fans really passionate, and it will bring out strong emotion. So as always, feel free to send me a tweet at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk, or email me as well at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Again, that is DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. This is Monday's show. We'll have a couple shows later this week. We have some interviews lined up. We're still trying to finalize, but we should have a couple interviews later this week with some people that you want to hear from. Also, be sure to visit the websites that re-air our podcast. They are FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, Dolphin-UK.com, and the Facebook pages Fanatics and Doll Fanatics. So check them out as well. Everyone, have a great Monday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.